You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
I want you to notice in 2 Corinthians 10 and 4 that Paul is talking to the saints. Who is Paul talking to? But he's using the language of a soldier. He's talking to the church, but he's using words like they are in combat. And these military terms or combat terms are very important when it comes to being a Christ-minded church. Very important. But I want you to keep in mind, though he's talking to the saints, he's talking to them like they are what? Soldiers. And so as we look at verse number 4, the Apostle Paul uses language that a soldier would use. And I want to deal with the three military terms that he uses. The first military term that he uses in 2 Corinthians 10 and 4 is weapon. A weapon. A tool that a soldier uses to defend themselves as well as to defeat their enemy. A weapon. It's a tool. And there are some weapons you, in our day and time, you have to be a certain age to use them, to be considered a legal weapon. There are certain knives, firearms, and such. But again, he's talking to the saints, letting us know that saints need to be armed like soldiers. Oh, Lord, y'all quiet. Let's go to 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles, chapter 23, and verse 9 and 10. And here's the reading of the text. And Jodiah, the priest, Jodiah was a what? A preacher. He gave to the captains of hundreds the spears and the large and small shields which had belonged to King David. Y'all see it? He gave them weapons to defend themselves and weapons to defeat their enemies, a spear and a shield. That were in, where were they at? The temple of God. Then he set all the people, every man with his weapon in his hand, from the right side of the temple of the church to the left side of the temple, along by the altar and by the temple all around the king. The preacher made sure that the captains and the people all had weapons in the house of God. And because there is nothing new under the sun, your pastor has to equip you every week with weapons so you can defeat your enemies and you can defend yourself. Every time we come to God's house, God's prophet is giving us a word that will equip us so our enemies don't defeat us. But he's also given us weapons in the message that will help defend us. You need to know you've got enemies. You've got seen and unseen enemies that want to kill, steal, and destroy you. And the only way you're going to defend yourself as a young man or a young woman, you got to take up your arms. I'm giving out the weapon. I'm giving you the word. But look at somebody say, you got to use it. The second term that he used that is a combat or a military term in 2 Corinthians 10 and 4 is warfare. The weapons of our warfare. Warfare, young people, describes or is a word that describes a fight that is often difficult and dangerous. Warfare. Notice 1 Timothy 1:18. A fight that is, help me, difficult and dangerous. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:18, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies or the word previously made concerning you, that by them or by the message or the word, you may wage a good warfare. Paul is telling Timothy, look, I done prophesied to you. I done gave you the word. Now, Timothy, you got to use that word in warfare. There are things that are trying to kill you, Timothy. There are things that are trying to turn your confidence into low self-esteem, Timothy. There are things that want you to be girly, Timothy. You are a man, but there are spirits that want you to act like a girl or a woman, Timothy. There are spirits out there that want you to start smoking, Timothy. There are spirits out there, Timothy, that want you to start gambling, but you gotta wage a good war. You gotta fight so you're not like the world. You gotta fight so you can remain holy. And see, it just wasn't for Timothy, it's for all of us. You gotta fight to stay saved. Don't think that when you came down to the altar, gave your life to Jesus, made him Lord and Savior, that you wasn't going to have to fight. You are going to have to use the weapons of your warfare. And Paul told Timothy later, look, or even in this verse, you're going to have to fight a good fight, a good fight of faith. Look at somebody say, you got to fight a good fight of faith. Yeah, when you get to going through things in life, when you're getting to deal with pressure, depression, and other things that come against you, you just can't lay down and die. You don't need to give up. You need to fight. You need to fight a good fight. And I got to be honest, God has given us plenty of weapons over the years. And me just talking about the sheep that I shepherd, let me be honest. We got some young men and young women in here that know how to use their weapons. Yes, we do. We got some young folk in here that they know how to use the weapon of giving. You know, when poverty attacks you, when you have a need, we got young folk in here that know they need to plant a seed. How many know giving is a weapon? Oh, man, you know that you should bring God his tithe and offering. If I'm talking about you, somebody shout praise the Lord. We got young folk in here that know how to use the weapon of prayer. Yeah, you know how to go before God boldly. You know how to obtain some grace to help you in the time of need. Do I have any young folk in here that know how to get a prayer through? You can't fool me. Y'all quiet, but I know you know how to pray. But I just got to be honest, if I just tell the truth, some of us don't like to use that weapon of praise. We need some of the trendsetters to just be honest and say, you've been leaving that weapon in the closet. You need to go in the closet and pull out that weapon of praise, because that's where your strength is. That's where your strength is. You got to start praising God, because praise is a weapon. Tell somebody on your row, say, praise is a weapon. You can't use the weapon of praise looking cool. You can't use the weapon of praise sitting down at your seat. You got to clap them hands. You got to open that mouth. You got to do a victory turn every now and then. You got to leap for some joy. Even if you ain't on the drums, on the guitar, on the keyboard, your body is an instrument of praise, and you got to use that weapon. Look at somebody say, use that weapon. Yeah, don't you know when you use the weapon of praise, that's where your joy is, that's where your strength is, that's how you get the presence of God to come down in your midst and to comfort you, to talk to you, to help you. Y'all sitting there like y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but you ought to be stirred up right about now because I'm talking about the weapon of praise. Baby, you cute, you got it going on, but you ain't that cute. Brother, you cool, but you ain't that cool. Pick up the weapon of praise and start defeating your enemies. Now, I don't mind using the weapon by myself, but I need a group. I need some other folk. Will you magnify the Lord with me? I need some young folk to say, look, I ain't embarrassed to give God the praise. When I come in the congregation, I use that weapon. When I'm at Burger King, I use that weapon. When I'm on the football field, I use that weapon. If my girlfriend come out looking good, I use that weapon and say, oh, Lord, you just did it like that. Look at somebody say, you got to know how to use that weapon. And some of us right now, you're going through something and the weapon you need to use is praise. You need to know how to give God the glory in the midst of what you're going through. And it has a way of causing God just to work out things for your good. How can you say that, Pastor? Because the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that it's just a testing of your faith. Somebody in here right now is going through something that's trying your faith. You can't figure it out. You can't pinpoint it. But all you need to do is give God the praise. Because praise is a what? It's a weapon. It's a weapon. So he says warfare, weapon, and then he uses a term called a stronghold. That's a military term. What is it? A stronghold. Something that is well guarded. Something that is protected or fortified. And it can be, in one sense, a thing or a person. Now, I understand there are many definitions of stronghold, but this is the one that I want to deal with as I was led to. It's something that's well guarded or fortified. Don't you know there are certain things that God has for you is well guarded. It's protected. Either God has it hidden or your enemies possess it. And in order for you to possess it, you're going to have to use your weapons. There are certain levels you want to get to in life. It's not going to be easy. I said it's not going to be easy. You're going to have to work. You're going to have to use your faith. There are certain things that you want God to release to you. It's in a fortified place. It may be in the realm of the unseen. And you got to get it into the realm of the seen. But one thing I like about the weapons of God, the text tells us that they're mighty. And we can use God's weapons to pull down strongholds. It may be fortified, but if I use God's weapons, I can get there. I can possess it. See, getting a degree don't guarantee that you can get there or possess something. Knowing certain people doesn't guarantee that you can get there or possess it. So how do I get something that's behind a stronghold? I got to use my weapons. They're mighty through God. For the pulling down of what? Let me prove it. Let's go to Psalm 89. Are y'all still with me? Psalm 89 and 40. Psalmist says, you have broken down all his hedges. Talking about the hedges or the walls of his enemies. You have brought his strongholds to what? To ruins. You have brought his strongholds to what? Ruins. See, there are some people, they don't want you to have certain things. But God's weapons can break down those strongholds. That's why if a teacher, a family member, a friend, or even yourself ever say you can't have something, you can't be something, or you can't go anywhere, your mindset need to be, but the weapons of God can ruin those strongholds. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, big, or skinny. God's weapons can ruin your enemy's strongholds. But we got to use our, help me, weapons of our warfare. Why, Pastor? Because they're mighty through God. Are y'all still understanding? Again, he's using these combat terms for the church. And then he switches from verse 4 to verse 5, talking about military terms. Then he starts talking about mental strategy. He goes from military terms to start talking about your mindset or mental strategy. And one reason he does this is because the mind, young folk, your mind is the place that you have to fight to keep the knowledge of God. Your biggest battles in life, young people, are going to happen in your mind. Your biggest fights in life as you grow, as you mature, they're going to happen in your mind. And the biggest thing we need to understand about why this fight happens mentally is because it's in your mind as a young woman or a young man where you store the knowledge of God. It's in your what? In your mind. It's in your mind that you think. It's in your mind where you start to make choices. But it's your mind to where you store the knowledge of God. It's where you contemplate, should I do what God said or should I do what I want to do? It all goes down first in our mind. The knowledge of God, young people, that he speaks about in verse 5 has to do with the word of God, God's righteousness. It all starts in our, help me, in our mind. That's where we store it, not in our pocket, not on our phone, in our mind. Think of it this way, Matthew 6:33. Jesus said plainly, but seek first the kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness. Excuse me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his what? Well, once I seek it and then I find it, where do I put it? I put it in my mind. Once I seek God's righteousness, once I seek his kingdom, what I learn, where do you store it? In your mind. Paul said in Romans 7:25, thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, stay with me. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. I serve myself, God's word, with my mind. Once I learn how to give, where do I put those principles at? In my mind. Once I learn how to pray, where do I put those principles at? In my mind. Once I learn how to talk and how not to talk, where do I put that? In my mind. And that's why your mind is so important. That's where we store the knowledge of God. And notice my notes. Enemies want to take the knowledge of God from our mind. Enemies want our mind to be confused. The knowledge of God says he created man and woman, but the knowledge of the world says, no, you can be what you want to be. And so that goes and tries to play with some folk mind. If your enemies can get the word of God out of your mind, that says you have a dirty or a filthy mind. If the enemy can get you thinking more about the latest celebrity, more so than the word of God, you got a filthy mind, a dirty mind. If your enemies can convince you to be worldly instead of holy, that says your mind is dirty. It's filthy. And see, that's the day and time we're living in. If you look closely, young people are not as serious as they should be with putting the knowledge of God in their what? In their mind. Paul talked about it. Look at this. Y'all write this down if you're taking notes. Romans 1:28. This is the day and time we're living in. Paul says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They didn't like to put the knowledge of God in their what? In their mind. They didn't like to. Go to church for what? That's where we at. Why don't you see shows that you watch where families go to church together, hear the word and worship God together? Because they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. Is it just me, or do y'all see it happening also? Do y'all see it? Yeah. And so we have to watch out for enemies. Tell somebody we got to watch out for enemies. Yeah, you got enemies that would try to pollute your mind. Y'all go to the book of Matthew. I'm going to get back to the text, but I'm led to deal with these enemies of the knowledge of God. And Jesus taught it in a parable, and it was just so plain to see that we have enemies that don't want us to have the word of God or the knowledge of God in our mind. It's just so plain. I call them the fatal five. That's what I call them, the fatal five enemies. Let's look at them. It's in a few verses, Matthew 13 and 18. Prove that y'all with me. When I pause, y'all pick it up. Therefore, verse 18, hear the parable of the... When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart or in his mind. The first enemy is Satan. That's the first enemy, the wicked one. Satan and whoever is attached to him. Demons, folks that worship the devil, can be in your community or on the internet. And notice, he comes quickly once you hear the word to try to take it out your mind. Time you get a message from the Lord, here comes enemy number one to try to take it out of our mind. Verse 20. But he who received the seed or the word on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with, help me, joy. And yet he has no root in himself. Enemy number two is yourself. Yeah, you heard the word, but you didn't take it serious. Yeah, you heard the word, but you were playing around. Sleep. You your own enemy. You heard the word, but you didn't put it into action. Amened it, shouted about it, clapped. But you were just faking. You and I could be our own enemy. Heard the word, but didn't have no root. And look at how he breaks it down, how you can tell a person ain't really had a word in them. They endure only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises, why does trouble come? Because of the word. Immediately, he or she, what do they do? They stumble. Enemy number two, situations of life. He calls them trials and persecution. But remember, we go through trials and persecution, according to this verse, because of the word. Have you ever realized, man, it seems like by the time I make up in my mind to do right, I start going through a whole bunch of different things. The verse says that happens because you've been receiving the word. That's warfare now. You done started praying. You done prayed 3 days in a row. Boy, you feeling good. You tell, man, I'm feeling better. And you know why? Because now you praying. But then something gonna happen to try to get you to stop what? Praying. So the situations of life, that's an enemy to the word of God. You get to doing the word and then stuff happening. You're like, man, what's going on? Good gracious. Seemed like life was better for me before I started doing the word. That's just that situation trying to defeat you. And young folk do have tough situations to deal with. Y'all can't fool me. I know you go through stuff. Verse 22, we're still looking at these fatal five enemies. Now he who receives seed among thorns is he who receives or hears the word, look, and the cares of this world. The cares of this what? One care that many young people and young adults have, that's enemy number four, the cares of this world, is social acceptance. That's one care. When you are so dependent on the validation of your peers, you ain't gonna be trying to do the word. When you wanna be accepted by folks so bad that you won't live the way God told you to live, you done let the cares of this world choke out that word. I just want a couple of friends. That's all. I just want. And so you're willing to compromise how you've been raised and what you've been taught just to be accepted? You got some young men, some young women, their experience with the opposite sex is very minimal. Just be honest. You have friends, but to have somebody say that they really feeling you, they really like you, and they want to express how they feel by getting physical, and you've never had that experience, but you want to be accepted. You want to feel it. You want to just, I got a boo now. But it's deception. I said it be it feel like real love, but it's lust. I said it feel like love, but it's lust. And the Bible says that we should flee youthful lust. See, you'll turn on something that God don't want you to turn on at this particular season in your life. It need to be turned on. Somebody need to push your button, just not right. Not right now. See, if somebody pushed that button to turn you on now, you may hoe out. You may get turned out, be a freak. Y'all can't fool me with your silence. I know I'm telling the truth. Somebody that ain't never had no girl let them rub up against them and touch them in certain places, and she lets you do it? You Curious George now. You trying to see what that be like. But you don't compromise just to be accepted. When your boys just keep cutting, man, you done hit that yet? Man, it's been how long? You ain't tapped that yet? Or your girlfriend's in your ear. Girl, you gonna give them some? If it were me, I'd have been done gave him a taste. See, fellas, don't think that fellas are the only ones that talk about that. Girls talk about it too. Girl, if it were me, what size shoe he wear? You know what they say. Is it true, girl? You girls be talking too. Y'all can't fool me. But that social acceptance chokes the word. And you in here. I said, you in here. Want to be accepted so bad. You thinking about compromise. Or continuing to compromise. But then he concludes. Y'all still with me? The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. And notice, he becomes unfruitful. The fifth one, the deceitfulness of riches. See, your financial status. The deceitfulness of riches. See, when you think that you ain't nothing just because you don't have designer, and you got to go out and do anything just to get some designer, your mindset ain't right. Now, God wants us to have nice things, but not to the point, young people, to where we're willing to do anything just to get nice or nicer things. You got to know how to act with what you got and let God take you or elevate you to where you ain't got to fake it till you make it. We don't need to fake it till we make it. That's what the world do. They fake it till they make it. Why you want to fake being something that you're just not at that level at right now? But God can get you to that level. But if you're constantly chasing the bag, as you say, trying to get yours, all at the expense of not living according to the written and the revealed word, then your enemies are defeating you. Because according to the verse, all they're doing or all that's doing is just choking the word. No, we don't need to let riches deceive us. God will bless us, and the blessing of the Lord will make us what? Rich and add no sorrow. But the day and time we're living in, so many young people now are willing to do anything for money. That's greed. And the Bible says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And so these are the fatal five. Have you ever bumped into one of them? Yeah. And it caused your mind to just be out of whack. Anybody ever had to deal with one of these enemies in your day? If not, keep on living. Look at somebody say, keep on living. We must not allow our enemies to get the knowledge of God, young people, out of our mind and thoughts. If we do, it says we have a dirty or a filthy mind. Now see, understand, from time to time, dirt is going to try to infiltrate or get in your mind. Just don't let it stay there. From time to time in this walk, dirt will come to your mind. I know I'm telling the truth. You are never 100% holy all the time. 24/7 every day of the week. That's the goal. Even the Apostle Paul said, I have not attained, but this one thing I do, I'm reaching forth. I'm trying to get there. But this is the thing, young folk. This is what we have to understand. Though dirt and filth try to come to our mind, we don't need to keep a dirty mind. And see, when I'm talking about having a dirty mind, when ungodly things come to your mind, don't let it set up shop and stay there, because it's going to come. You're going to have to wrestle with things at times in your mind. If suicide ever come to your mind, don't you let that stay there. And you carry it out. If things come to your mind that don't line up with the word of God, you got to understand that's a part of life. You got to fight, though. You got to fight those filthy thoughts when they do come. And you'll have some days where you'll have multiple attacks on your mind. And I used to think a dirty mind meant that, look, I'm just thinking about sexual things. That's not it. No. If a thought comes to your mind that God ain't going to do a thing when he said he would do a thing, that's a filthy thought. You got to fight that. God is faithful. He going to stand by his word. Just because you're going through a little something, that does not mean God is not going to do what he promised. How many know all the promises of God are yes and amen? You got to fight them filthy thoughts. You got to fight them things that come to your mind that tell you your parents are not for you. Just because y'all not agreeing, that don't mean they're not for you. So you got to fight that stuff. You got to fight whatever is contrary to the will of God that comes against your mind. Because if you let it set up shop, you'll be depressed. You'll be confused. And how many know God is not the author of confusion? And y'all can sit there and act like I'm talking a foreign language. But God would not send this word if he knew some of you weren't going through different things in your mind. Battling things. Should I, shouldn't I? In your mind. Tell yourself, say, I got to fight. I got to fight. Y'all didn't say it like no soldier. Say, I got to fight. In my clothes. The Apostle Paul in verse 5. Gives two truths that can help young people and adults to fight filthy thoughts. Two truths. And they work. I said they work. Notice our text in 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. I'm closing here. The Apostle Paul says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against what? The knowledge of God. So you got the knowledge of God where? In your what? In your mind. But you got filthy thoughts that are arguing with the knowledge of God. You know what the words say, and it's in your mind. But you're dealing with something that's arguing with it. He says, you got to cast it down. You got to cast it down. So the next question is, what do it mean to cast down? You don't allow it authority. See, you know that them negative thoughts have authority in your life. If you're allowing it to cause you to think, talk, and act out of character. That's how you know you're losing the battle in your mind. Because you done gave it authority. Well, I guess don't nobody like me. I guess don't nobody like me. Because ain't nobody calling me. I guess don't nobody like me, because nobody, how you know they ain't pay their bill and they phone off? How do you know? Quit giving that authority. I said, quit giving that, don't nobody love me. Don't nobody love me. And so you act like, don't nobody love me. That means you done gave that thought authority. Well, I might as well be what everybody think. I might as well be what everybody think. Now, you know that's a lie. You don't even know what everybody, you know what everybody think. But you got young adults, they'll be like, well, I might as well just go ahead and be that since everybody think that about me. That means you done gave that thought authority. It's folk that don't even know you. But you done convinced yourself that everybody think like that. You done gave it authority. You got to cast it down. When that thought come to your mind, hey, you're messing with me, but I'm not going to let you ruin my day. I'm going to have a good day today. Even though this is trying to mess with my mind, I'm not going to let it stop me from enjoying this day. I'm not going to let this person stop me from speaking to other people. Just because me and her had a problem, I'm not going to say everybody is like that. But if you do act crazy just because one person done messed you up, you done gave them thoughts authority. Arguments and every high thing, young people, has to do with, in one sense, logical reasoning. See, sometimes we think that what we think is right, and we fail to get in God's word and try to learn if our thinking is proper. So we think we right. And the Bible says that's how a fool thinks. A fool thinks in his own eyes that he's what? He's right. So you can't look at your situation and think logical about it like God can't move. There's no way God can help me. There's no way God can move for me. You got to cast that down. God's eyes are in every place. He sees what we're going through. We can cast our care on him. He cares for us. Whoever calls on the name of Jesus shall be delivered. Woo, I done put the word on it. I done cast that argument down. Because sometimes what we think is based upon what we see. And we are taught that we should not live by what we see or what we feel. Are y'all understanding me? Because see, young folk, you're going to have stuff come to your mind. And no matter how high you go, you still gonna have stuff come to your mind and fight you. But you better learn how to cast it down and not give it no authority. And just because you go through things in your mind, that don't mean you ain't saved. That don't mean you ain't sanctified. Now, if you give them thoughts authority, you done backslid. But we gotta constantly fight in our mind. And notice how he says we don't allow it to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. The word. You got to put the word on your thoughts. I said you got to put the word on your thoughts. Mama just don't understand. Well, let's get in the Bible and see what the Bible says. Let's see what the Bible says before you conclude that mama don't understand. Because if you give that thought authority, you're going to end up doing the very opposite of what mama been telling you you should not do. Most of our mothers done been through where you're at. And they're trying to help you to not do what they did. But when your mind is jacked up and filthy, you're not thinking right. I know I'm telling the truth. Cast down. Don't give it authority. How many understand by show of hands? Don't play with me. How many understand? Number two, in the same verse, bringing every thought into what? I mean, y'all fell off. Bringing every thought into the obedience of? Last way to fight filthy thoughts, take captive. It's almost like you just grabbing your enemy and just holding them down. You beating them down. Take captive. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. In other words, take hold of those thoughts and make them heed the word. You're not important. That's what the thought is, and yet you're not important. You're not important. So you got to get in the scripture, and you find that every member of the body is important. So when that thought comes, say, you're not important, you're not significant. Well, the Bible says that every part of the body is sufficient. It's important. It's needed. I am important, but you're not important. Yes, I am. It's just a back and forth battle. It's a war. But do you think God's word is going to win? Yes. It's living. It's powerful. You can't psych yourself out to win certain mental battles. You have to use the word. Why? Because it is anointed. You see, he uses the word Christ. The word is anointed. And we talked about the other week how the anointing destroys burdens or yokes that come to your mind. Put the anointed word on those filthy thoughts. It ain't going to work out. You're going to be broke for the next 10 years. It ain't going to work out. You're going to be broke. That's the thought. You're going to lose this. You're going to lose that. This is what it's prophesying to you. You got to fight back. You're going to sit there and just let somebody. Matter of fact, can I use somebody as an example of slapping you in the face and not doing anything back? Is anybody willing to just come up here and just let me? You're not willing to do that. But your thoughts can do the same thing. Your thoughts can just beat you down. The same way y'all was like, Pastor Bay, you can't use me like that. No, seriously, we're recording and everything. They have consented to letting me just smack them and not do nothing. None of y'all will let me do that. But our thoughts sometimes do the exact same thing. You got to fight back. You're just not going to keep coming to my mind telling me I'm going to lose this when the Bible says in Romans 8:28 that all things will work out together for my good. I'm not going to lose it. And if I do, God is God enough to make me get it back. I'm not going to lose. You got to put the anointed word on those filthy thoughts. God don't forgive you. You knew it. He ain't going to forgive you. That's condemnation. That's condemnation. Trying to condemn you. You got to put the anointed word. Look. I'm forgetting those things that are in the past. Mind you trying to bring it back up and paint a picture, but I'm forgetting it. I'm forgetting it. I'm forgetting. I'm putting you out of my mind. The Bible says that even my God threw my sins into the sea and will remember them no more. That's how you got to do, because that stuff will come to your mind. You be trying to sleep and you dreaming about them thoughts, or you can't even sleep. But you got to put that anointed word so you're not walking around with a filthy mind. Take captive. Acknowledge that it's a fight going on. Take captive. I can't grab Tim unless I acknowledge where he at. He right here. That's the bad thought. So I got to take captive. And I got to hold him and say, you ain't going to be picking on me too much longer. You ain't going to be picking me. He said, man, I got you, boy. I'm younger than you. You ain't going to pick me too much longer. You ain't going to be I'm taken captive. And if I hold him right and long enough, eventually he going to leave. Quit playing, Pastor. No, I ain't playing. Quit playing now. I'm ready to go. No, stay right here. Don't mess with me no more. Take captive of them thoughts. Even the Bible says from the mouth of Jesus, you put the word on the enemy, the Bible says that he will flee. Now, that thought may come back, but for that moment, he going to what? He going to flee and try you again in another season. But you got to take captive of them filthy thoughts, or you going to act them out. Because as a man thinketh in his heart or in his mind, so is he. You got to fight. I said you got to. You got to put the word on it. And sometimes, young folk, it's not only confessing the word. You got to get in prayer sometime. You got to get in prayer. And, Lord, this thing is on my mind, but I know that you want me to have a sound mind. You want me to have a sound mind, not no filthy mind. You don't want me walking around worried about this thing right here. You got to fight those filthy thoughts. You got to cast them down, and you got to take them captive. You got to make yourself heed the word. Make your mind heed the word. How many are understanding? When you leave here today and them thoughts come to your mind, fight them. fight those filthy thoughts. Don't give them authority. And you make them heed the word. Don't give them what? Authority, and make them heed the word. Tell somebody, say, we got to fight these filthy thoughts. Cast them down and take captive. I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap for the lesson.